Welcome to Zichu Dav Siman Memory of Ram Goldar, and today we're Masechta Erevin Daf Kuf Hei, the final blot in the Masechta. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, HaKol Nichnasim BeHeichel Livnos L'Sakin L'Hotzia Satuma. Anyone may enter the Heichel to build, to make repairs, and to remove Tuma, Umitzav B'Kohanim, but preferably, Kohanim should do these tasks. Im Ein Sham Kohanim Nichnasim Levim, if there are no Kohanim, then even Levim may enter. Ein Sham Levim Nichnasim Yisraelim, if there are no Levim, then even Yisraelim may enter. The Gemara infers, Tahorin in Tamein Lo. Tower people may enter, but Tame people should not. Therefore, Atar Yisrael precedes Atame Kohen. Rav Huna said that Rav Kahana support the Kohanim, for he taught a different order in a Braisa. Mitzvah Tmimim, it's preferable that unblemished Kohanim enter to perform repairs. Ein Sham Tmimim Nichnasim Bali Mumin, if there are no unblemished Kohanim, then even blemished Kohanim should enter. Mitzvah Tahorin, it's a mitzvah Torah Kohanim enter to do repairs. Ein Sham Tahorim Nichnasim Tameim, if there are no Tar Kohanim, then even Tame Kohanim may enter. The Gemara infers that since the Braisa didn't mention Yisraelim, Kohanim in Yisraelim lo. Kohanim may enter, but Yisraelim may not. Even a Tame Kohen, therefore, has precedence over a Tahor Yisrael. Point number two, the Gemara inquired, Tame Ubalmum Eiz Mehen Nichnas. If only a Tame Kohen and a blemished Kohen are available, which one should enter the Heichel to do repairs? Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Tame Niknas, the Ha'ishtrei Be'avodos Tzibur. The Tame Kohen should enter since he's permitted to form community karbanas when the majority of Kohanim are Tame, whereas a Balmum may never bring a carbon. Rabbi Lazar said, Balmum Niknas, the Ha'ishtrei Be'achilas Kachim. The Balmum should enter for he can eat from karbanas, whereas a Tame Kohen may not eat from them. And point number three, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon said, Makam Shetiru Chachamim, Mishalcha Nasnu Lecha. Where the Chachamim granted you a dispensation, they merely gave you what is rightfully yours. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Shimon was referring to, and answers that he was referring back to the ruling he gave in the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis regarding one who's overtaken by darkness while he's still outside the tchum of his destination. Rabbi Shimon said, Afil Chameshesrei Amah Yikanes, even if he's 15 amas away from the city's tchum boundary, he may enter. Lefi she'ena mashochos mematzin esamidos mipnei atoim. For the surveyors who place the markers that delineate the city's tchum do not give full measure because of those who err. Rabbi Shimon is clarifying that this is not a leniency in the restriction of tchum, but rather allowing the person to use what is rightfully his anyway, since those extra 15 amos are actually with 2,000 amos of the city. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in a braisa, called Nichnasim be'eichel livnos l'sakan l'hotzias tuma. Anyone may enter the heichel to build, to make repairs, and to remove tuma. Umitzvah b'kohanim, but preferably kohanim should do these tasks. Im ein sham kohanim nichnasim levim, if there are no kohanim, then even levim may enter. Ein sham levim nichnasim yisraelim, if there are no levim, then even yisraelim may enter. The Gemara infers, Tohorin in tamein lo. Tower people may enter, but tame people should not. Therefore, a tower yisrael precedes a tame kohen. Rav Huna said that Rav Kahana support the kohanim, for he taught a different order in a braisa. Mitzvah b'tamimim, it's preferable that unblemished kohanim enter to perform repairs. Ein sham tmimim niknasim bali mumim. If there are no unblemished Kohanim, then even blemished Kohanim should enter. Mitzvah Tahorin, it's a mitzvah Torah Kohanim enter to do repairs. Ein sham Tahorin niknasim tmimim. If there are no Torah Kohanim, then even Tame Kohanim may enter. The Gemara infers that since the Braisa didn't mention Yisraelim, Kohanim im Yisraelim lo. Kohanim may enter, but Yisraelim may not. Even a Tame Kohen has precedence over a Tahor Yisrael. Point number two, the Gemara inquired, Tame Ubalmum, Ezme and Nichnas. If only a Tame Kohen and a blemished Kohen are available, which one should enter the Heichel to do repairs? Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Tame Nichnas, the Ha'ishtrei Be'avodas Tzibur. The Tame Kohen should enter, since he's permitted to perform community karbanas when the majority of Kohanim are Tame, whereas a Balmum may never bring a carbon. Rav Elazar said, Balmum Nichnas, the Ha'ishtrei Be'achilas Kachim. The Balmum should enter, for he can eat from karbanas, whereas a Tame Kohen may not eat from them. And pointing with me, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon said, Makam Shetiru Chachamim Mishalcha Nasnu Lecha. Where the Chachamim granted you a dispensation, they merely gave you what is rightfully yours. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Shimon was referring to, and answers that he was referring back to the ruling he gave in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis regarding one who's overtaken by darkness while he's still outside the tchum of his destination. Rabbi Shimon said, Afil Chameshes Re'am Yechanes. Even if he's 15 amas away from the city's tchum boundary, he may enter. Lefishenim Oshochos Mematinus Amidus Mifnei Atoim. For the surveyors who place the markers that delineate the city's tchum do not give full measure because of those who err. Rabbi Shimon is clarifying that this is not a leniency in the restriction of tchum, but rather we're allowing the person to use what is rightfully his anyway, since those extra 15 amos are actually within the 2,000 amos of the city. All right, so now we go to our sim for Daf Kuf Hei, and the simon here is hacker. We reverse Kuf Hei, so it's hacker, and we use a Russian hacker. for this sentence. Here goes. The Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of Atomic Cohen versus a Cohen Balmum, and then it suddenly became dark as he sat 50 numbers away from the city's tomb. Once again, in slow motion. The Russian hacker, that must be Warren Duff Kufay. The Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs, which reminds us of the two opinions regarding who takes precedence to enter the Heichal to build, make repairs, and to remove Tuma. One Bryce inferred Atar Yisrael would come before Atame Cohen, whereas Rukahana said Atame Cohen would precede Atar Yisrael. So the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of Atame Cohen versus the Cohen Balmum, which reminds us of the machlokes regarding who takes precedence regarding Atame Cohen or Cohen Balmum. On one hand, the Atame Cohen can perform karbanos with a tzibur when the majority of Kohanim are Tami, whereas a Balmum cannot. On the other hand, a Balmum can eat kachim, whereas a Atame Cohen cannot. So the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of a Atame Cohen versus a Cohen Balmum. And then it suddenly became dark as he sat 50 namas away from the city's tchum. Which reminds us that when Rabbi Shimon said, Makm shetiru cha chachamim v'shalcha nasnu cha, where the chachamim granted you a dispensation, they merely gave you what is rightfully yours, he is referring back to the ruling gave in the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis on the base regarding one who is overtaken by darkness while he's still outside the tchum of his destination. Rabbi Shimon said, "Afil chamish esrei ama yikanes." Even 15 amas away from the city's tchum boundary, he may enter. For the surveyors who placed the markers to delineate the city's tchum did not give full measure because of those who err. Rabbi Shimon is clarifying that this is not a leniency in the restriction of a tchum, but rather we're allowing to use what is rightfully his anyway, since those extra 15 amas are actually within 2,000 amas of the city. So once again, the Russian hacker trying to break into the temple software to figure out who gets precedence in making repairs was stumped when it came to the question of a Atame Cohen versus a Cohen Balmum, and then suddenly it became dark as he sat 50 namas away from the city's tchum. Hadron Olacha Mosi Tefillin, Uslikala Masechas Erevin, Mazel Tov everybody on completing Masechas Erevin with Simanim. We now have 312 topics organized in our mind, blot by blot. It's a fantastic, remarkable achievement. Mitzvah Hashem, we should continue to grow Machal Achal as we begin Masechas Psachim, and Mitzvah Hashem, go through Shas together. So now it's time for our four blot back Chazorah. Daf Kufalov. So the simmer Daf Kufalov is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller, that must be more on Daf Kufalov. The bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed, mad door dragging on the floor, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hadel Shabbat Muksa, the door to a backyard, the Chadakim Shabbat Piritza, and a bundle of thorns that's placed in a gap in the wall, Maksalos, and reed mats, even if these irregular doors are tied to the doorway, ain't known behen. One may not close the entranceway with him on Shabbos, elim ken gvoim in aretz, unless they're suspended above the ground. Rashi explains that it's prohibited to place them in a position because of the malacha bona, and adds that even if they're hanging, if they're touching the floor, it's still forbidden min rabbanim because of mechzik bona. It appears like bona. So the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door, dragging on the floor, put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill next to the butcher shop, which reminds us. In the next Mishnah, Rebbe Meir prohibited a person standing in Rishus of Rabbim from picking up a key in Rishus Yachid to unlock a door in Rishus Yachid unless he made a mechitza 10 tefachim high to convert the area into which he stands to a Rishus Yachid. The Chachamim challenged Rebbe Meir with an incident in the butcher's market in Yerushalayim where people would lock their stores while they were standing in the street and leave the key on a windowsill above the door, and the windowsill had the dimensions of Rishus Yachid. This proves that it's permissible to handle a key in Rishus Yachid while standing in the Rishus of Rabbim. The Gemara asks on the question that Chachamim asked Rabbi Eliezer that their proof is irrelevant to Rabbi Meir's position, since Yerushalayim has the din of a karmelis, as Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim imalit also said ninalos balayla chayavin lemishum rishus harabim. Yerushalayim, if it were not that its doors were closed at night, one would be liable for carrying in rishus harabim. Rabbi Papa answered and explained, kan kodem shenifritzo piritzos, kanu achur shenifritzo piritzos. Rabbi Yochanan's statement was referring to the status of Yerushalayim before breaches were made in its walls, whereas the Mishnah was referring to an incident that took place after breaches were made in its walls, giving Yerushalayim the status of Rishus HaRabim. So the bird caller who appeared from behind the hanging reed mat door dragging on the floor put his key to his bird shop on his windowsill next to the butcher shop and used a bolt with a knob on its end to keep the door shut. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Neger Sheish Barosho Gusa, a bolt that's pushed into a hole in the bottom of the doorway in order to be able to close the door that has a knob on its end and can now be used as an instrument to crush pepper, Rabbi Yezer prohibits its use, and Rabbi Yossi permits it. The Gemara explains that if the bolt's attached and hanging by a cord, everyone agrees that it's permitted to use it because it's clear that it's being used as a bolt, and it doesn't give the appearance of bona. But if it cannot be lifted by its cord because the cord will break, Rabbi Yossi holds that it still can be used because since there is a knob on the end of it, it has Torah's Kli Alav, the status of a Kli, and will not be misconstrued as an act of bona. Rabbi Ezra holds that since the bowl cannot be picked up at the cord, it's viewed as unattached and therefore can be construed as an act of bona. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Beis is a caveman. A caveman. So here goes. The careless caveman. Caveman? That must be more Daf Kuf Beis. The careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen, which reminds us, the Gemara brings several teachings of the Rabbanan is for building a temporary oil. Hanu Dichri Da'avili Rav Huna. Rav Huna had some rams that required shade from the sun in the daytime and required fresh air at night. During the week, mats were spread over their pen by day to provide shade and removed at night to provide ventilation. Rav Huna came before Rav and asked him how he should give the ram shade on Shabbos day without creating an oil. Rav answered that when he wants to expose the pen before dusk Erev Shabbos, he should go and roll up the mat but leave one tefach spread out, and then the following day on Shabbos unroll it. He explained that since the mat was already spread out a tefach before Shabbos, one who unrolls the rest of it on Shabbos is most of all rayu v'shaper dami, is only adding to an already existing temporary structure, and that is permitted. So the careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen knocked the door off its bottom pivot, which reminds the second mishnah on the daf states, according to the Tanakhama, machazirin sira tachtim b'mikdash v'ol medina, one may reinsert a bottom pivot in the base of mikdash but not in the provinces, and the top pivot may not be reinserted neither in the provinces nor in the base of Migdash. The Gemara clarifies that replacing the lower pivot is an issue of the Rabbanan out of concern that one will hammer it in. There's a rule that Ein Shvus B'Migdash, the Rabbanan suspended their decrees when they interfere with the Avodah in the base of Migdash. Replacing the upper pivot, however, which makes the door functional, is an issue of the Raisa, since the Tanakhama holds that Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, building with Kelim is the Malach HaBona, therefore it's Asur even in the base of Migdash. Rav Yudah says that even the top pivot may be reinserted in the base of Migdash, since he holds that Ein Binyan Mekalim, it's only in Esed Rabbanan, and therefore it's permitted in the base of Migdash, and he holds that the lower pivot is Mutter even outside the base of Migdash. So the careless caveman herding rams into a covered pen knocked the door off its bottom pivot, injuring the Kohen Shepherd who needed to be bandaged up the day before he was scheduled to do the Avoda. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah deals with a Kohen with a wound who deliberately removed the bandage with the dressing to perform the avoda, so that it would not constitute a chatzitza. Now he wishes to replace it. Machzirin Ratiya B'Migdash. One may replace a dressing in the base of Migdash for the sake of avoda, but not in the provinces, as that would be an issur d'rabbanan. Rashi explains that the Rabbanan were concerned that one may commit the amalach of smoothing out the dressing. Even though replacing the dressing is normally forbidden, even in the base of Migdash, the Rabbanan granted a special dispensation. They were concerned that if the Kohen would not be allowed to replace the dressing after doing the avoda, he would choose to keep the bandage on and refrain from doing the avoda. Daf Kuf Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer. Yerushalmi Kugel. That must be more on Daf Kuf Gimel. The famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer was also known to cut moist warts and dry warts by hand off a carbon, which reminds us. The Gemara notes a contradiction between the next Mishnah, which states, Choskin Yabelis B'Mikdash Avlo B'Medina. One may sever a wart from an animal with one's hand in the base of Mikdash, but not in the provinces. And the Tanakham of Mishnah and Psachim regarding a carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach that falls on Shabbos, it says, carrying it, referring to the carbon Pesach, to the base of Migdash via Rishus Arabim, bringing it from outside the Tchum and cutting off its wart, are not Docha Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinin presented two different answers. One said that both Mishnahs were referring to a moist wart, but in our Mishnah it was removed by hand, which is permitted in the base of Migdash, since it's an unusual method, and therefore only the Rabbanan. Whereas in the Mishnah Psachim, it was removed by a Kli, which is Asur, with the Raisa. The other one answered that both Mishnahs were referring to a case where the wart was removed by hand, but in the Mishnah from Psachim, the wart was moist, and in the Mishnah here, the wart was dry. A dry wart is no longer part of a living animal, and even removal with a Kli is not Asur, with the Raisa. Our Mishnah forbids doing so because it bears a strong relationship to a Malacha, and therefore was treated more stringently than other Rabbanans in the base of Migdash. So the famed Yerushalmi Kugel slicer was also known to cut moist warts and dry warts by hand off a carbon in the base of Migdash, but never outside, which reminds us that Rabbi Yosef suggested that the two Mishnayos refer to the removal of a moist wart by hand, which is a Rabbanan, Ushvus Migdash B'Migdash Yetiru, and rabbinic prohibitions that stand in the way of base of Migdash procedures were permitted only inside the base of Migdash, but Shvus the Migdash B'Medina Lo Yetiru, rabbinic prohibitions that stand in the way of base of Migdash procedures were not permitted in the provinces. Therefore, the removal of the wart, the carbon Pesach that was examined outside the base of Migdash, was not permitted. Rav Safta rejected this answer because in a Mishnah Psachim, we allow putting a carbon pesach in the oven Erev Shabbos in violation of the Issur d'Rabbanan of Shehiyah, even though it's the Shavuos b'Mikdash b'Medina, an Issur d'Rabbanan that is for the purpose of a carbon that is performed outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the famed Yerushalmi Kugel Slicer, who was also known to cut moist warts and dry warts by hand off a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, but never outside, cut his finger one time and needed to bandage it with reed grass. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kohen Shalaka Be'etzba'o, a Kohen who is wounded in his finger, Korech Alei Gemi B'Mikdash Avolom Medina, may wrap reed grass over it in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the provinces. Rashi explains that placing the reed grass on the wound has a healing effect, and is therefore included in the Rabbanan prohibition of medical procedures. Rav Yehuda Breid Rechi explained the mission that only reed grass is mutter, but using a tzilzul katan, a small belt, is forbidden because it constitutes yitr begadim. In addition to the big deguna, Rav Yochanan said that additional begadim only invalidate the avoda when they are b'makam begadim, in the place of the begadim. But since this is worn on the finger, it doesn't constitute an addition. Daf Kufdalet, so the symbol Kufdalet is code. So here goes. The Kohen who figured out the code, that must mean we're on Daf Kufdalet. The Kohen who figured out the code in the sprinkled salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Bozki melcha gabi kevish bishvil shel yachliku. One may break up salt and scatter it on the ramp of the Mizbeach, so that the Kohanim do not slip on it when it's wet from the rain. Rav Acha Breid Rava said to Rav Ashi, in what way was the salt scattered? Either mevatle kamosi v'abinyan. If the one who scatters it intends to abandon it there permanently, he's adding to the construction of the Mizbeach. And this is forbidden, as David HaMelech stated, HaKol b'ksav miyat Hashem ala hiskil. It, referring to the specifications within the Beis HaMikdash, is all in writing as it was elucidated to me from the hand of Hashem. And if he doesn't intend to abandon the salt permanently, it will constitute a chetzitza between the feet of the Kohanim and the Mizbeach, which will invalidate the Avoda. After an initial answer is rejected, the Gemara explains that the salt was scattered b'halachas etzim l'maracha d'lab avodihi, for the purpose of bringing wood up the ramp of the Mizbeach, which is not an Avoda. So the Kohen figured out the code and the sprinkled salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach, ran to a special door and knocked three times, which reminds us, Ula went to the home of Rav Menashe on Shabbos, and when someone knocked on the door, Ula said the person knocking should have his body desecrated because he was Machal Shabbos. He was of the opinion that it's forbidden to produce any type of sound on Shabbos, even of a non-musical nature. Rabba said to Ula, Ula asu el kol shal shir. The Rabban did not ban every type of sound, only sounds of a musical nature. The Gemara brings several challenges to Rabba's opinion, but each one is refuted. So the Kohen figured out the code in the sprinkled salt on the ramp in the Mizbeach, ran to a special door, knocked three times, and was handed a pair of wooden tongs to remove a dead sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash. Which reminds us, the last mission of the Masechta states that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, sheretz shenimsa b'mikdash, if a sheretz was found in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohen motzil behemyanu shelo l'shal usas ha-tuma. A Kohen must remove it with the sash so as not to prolong the presence of tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi explains that it's better to remove the tuma quickly, even though this will make the sash, which is kadosh, tameh. Rabbi Yudah says, but tzvah shel eitz shelo rabas is the tuma. He must remove it with wooden tongs so as not to increase the tuma. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yudah holds that the main consideration is to contain the tuma. Therefore, it's better to take time to find wooden tongs to remove the sheretz because a wooden utensil without a receptacle is not makabel tuma. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos number 1. Which stuff do we make between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda regarding reinserting the bottom and top pivots in the Beis HaMikdash and the Medina? That's on Daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we have 2 different opinions regarding who gets Din Kedima in terms of entering the Heichel to build, make repairs, and remove tummy objects? That's on Daf Kuf Hey. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we make on how to remove a sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash? That's on Daf Kufdalet. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we melchos regarding whether one can use a bolt with a knob on its end used to close the door when it cannot be lifted by its cord? That's on daf Kufalv. Good. Number 5. Which daf did Rav tell Rav Huna to spread out his mat a tefach before Shabbos, then roll it out on Shabbos because it's permissible to add on an ohel arai? That's on daf Kufbeis. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that drinking directly from within 3 tefachim of a roof gutter is prohibited when standing in Rishus of Rabbin? That's on Daf Tzadites. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that regular doors such as reed mats may not be used to close an entranceway if they're dragging on the ground? That's on Daf Kufal. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that a kohen is permitted to replace a bandage with dressing after doing the avoda? That's on Daf Kufbeis. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that Rabba said that the only sounds that were forbidden on Shabbos were those of a musical nature? That's on Daf Kuf Dalet. Good. Number 10. Which of the women the Chava was cursed with 10 klolos? One of them being that she's wrapped up like a mourner, meaning that she covers her head. That's on Duff. Kuf. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the women that the open gap in wagons has the din of Rishus of Rabim? That's on Duff. Tzadiches and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff did we learn about the Kinor of David HaMelech? That's on Duff. Gimel and Brachas. Good. And number 3. Which stuff did we learn that one can go out on Shabbos with a gold tooth since one would be embarrassed to take it out? That's on Duff. Samechein and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. Once again, Hadron Olach, Maseches Erev and Mitzvah Shem, every week with Simanim, as we go weiter in Shas. Mazel Tov once again. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.